The Middle East and North African region has a long and rich musical tradition. Throughout the history of the Middle East, music has been associated with extraordinary powers that are believed to transform the musician and audience on a spiritual level. The Babylonians and Egyptians have linked sound and music to the cosmological fabric of the universe. And in medieval Islamic courts, instrumentalists and singers are known to have cast an overwhelming emotional effect on their audience. This transcendental state of mind is often described as a trance. In this podcast series, we are going to trace the development of trance music in the Middle East and North African region, and we'll do this by first exploring how trance music was first understood in the more context-specific conventional sense, before having evolved into contemporary trance music that has become increasingly co-opted with the modern secular psychedelia culture. In normative lexicology, a trance often refers to a hypnotic state of heightened consciousness. When speaking of trance with respect to music, we often associate trance with modern-day trance music or some form of electronic dance music, where the musical form involves a very distinct buildup of tension before reaching a peak and a release. Trance is also understood in certain contexts as a mystical state, an experience that is categorized by both the contents of the experience and the alternate states of consciousness during which they occur. In the Arab world, one would often achieve this mystical state of trance through tarab music. Older forms of tarab music are rooted in the pre-World War I period of musical practice in Egypt and the East Mediterranean Arab region. Tarab music is directly associated with emotional evocation, and the term is sometimes used synonymously with ecstasy and trance. In ethnomusicology, tarab is a complex concept that involves the use of unique intervals and maqam. Maqam, also known as the maqamat system, is a modal system similar to a musical scale that was widely used in classical Arabic music. For the execution of a tarab song, the use of proper grammar in classical Arab language was crucial, as was imparting emotional overtone. The singer is expected to clearly enunciate and to have extensive knowledge of classical Arabic poetry and proverbs with which he or she is expected to use. Additionally, tarab music features stately tempos, slow expressive solos, heterophonic textures, concentrated listening, and emotional feedback from the audience. Trance has been largely used within the context of spirit possession. The awakening of trance consciousness is thought to enable communication and union with God, gods, deities, or spirits. In the Middle East, one can find religious dhikr Sufi rituals that use music as part of their ceremonies. The dirk Sufi ritual is practiced in dervish brotherhoods from India to Morocco. In the context of ecstasy induction, ecstasy is often used to describe the state of consciousness of a practitioner in a Sama Sufi ceremony of the Mevlevi order, where the practitioner experiences union with Allah while listening to music. In Turkey, the whirling dervishes practice a meditative dance as part of the Sama ritual, where they turn in a particular manner on their own axes over long periods of time without suffering from dizziness or any physical irritation, experiencing a state of ecstasy. The dervishes remain fully conscious both during and after the ceremony. Listen to this description of how the whirling dervishes perform their dances in order to achieve a state of ecstasy. This is an audio clip from a short film on whirling dervishes in Turkey and Syria with a compilation of authentic field recordings by ethnomusicologist Deben Bhattacharya.
The Sema, or revolving movement, is said to signify the motion of the sun, moon, and stars. And through this movement, the dervishes gently attain a state of religious ecstasy. But in order to achieve this, the formal ritual must be followed. For example, the skirts must not flow outwards in a circular pattern. They must take on a triangular shape. The dancers must revolve in an anti-clockwise direction, turning on the left heel while gathering motion with the right foot. Dervishes rotate with widespread arms, the right hand open to the sky in a gesture of receiving, while the left hand faces downward towards the earth, as if giving. Their smooth, steady, floating movement may look simple, but it takes years of practice for a novice to learn how to whirl correctly without colliding or falling over from dizziness.
In juxtaposing the specific state of trance and ecstasy, both have been used to describe a process of transformation that involves a shift in the subject's consciousness, where the person may access mental or physical strength that enables him or her to perform beyond his or her normal abilities and capacities. Dareb performances have developed from a cultural context that has conferred great importance to music. A cultural context that we touched on earlier with the Babylonians and ancient Egyptians' empowered understanding of music being embedded in the fabric of the cosmos, and the powerful emotional response invoked in the members of medieval Islamic courts. This powerful emotional impact can still be found in Dareb music performances today, where the audience and performers are both transported to a state of musical ecstasy, or Dareb, which the audience sometimes expresses by shouting and verbal appreciation during a performance. This anecdote taken from Kitab al-Ahani, or the Book of Song, is emblematic of Dareb. As Jamila sang, all those gathered there were seized by Dareb. One of the guests, the poet Umar, began to shout, "Woe is me, woe is me." He tore his robe from top to bottom in a state of total unconsciousness. This act of tearing a robe in total unconsciousness through the influence of Dareb music suggested that the guest entered a state of trance during the Dareb performance. Comparatively, the audience is expected to have a more subtle experience, being transferred to a state of ecstasy through a moment of silence, after a skilled and expressive performance demonstrating effective modulation and the use of maqams. Musicians stress that playing music can be a deeply creative and ecstatic experience, describing their moment of going into a state of ecstasy during the Dareb performance and having heightened mental or creative abilities. This heightened state of mind prepares the artist to interpret the music and improvise with feeling. This ecstatic creative state experienced by the musician is called sultana. In the sultana state, the musician becomes self-absorbed, focusing intensely on the music during the performance. Sultana is considered to be an integral part of the overall Dareb experience. It is the magic that momentarily lifts the artist to a higher ecstatic plateau and empowers him or her to evoke Dareb most effectively. Sultana is creative ecstasy. In essence, sultana is a state in which the artist experiences heightened mental and emotional creativity through full consciousness. The skillful application of musical inspiration in a state of sultana was an essential aspect of the classical Dareb performance of the 19th and early 20th century in Egypt. In Iraq, professional drummers were described to have broken drums over their head, a form of destructive behavior that is part of a Dareb performance. This example of violent behavior by Iraqi musicians is likely to have occurred during a state of trance. To some, Dareb, in this conventional sense, is considered a dying art in the modern MENA music landscape, largely because of Western influence in music. In the context of Egypt, Napoleon first opened it up to Western influence in 1798. This modernization entailed introducing and promoting Western cultural music, such as Italian opera and European-style military bands. Traces of Dareb still exist in contemporary music today, though different forms of music have emerged in the spotlight across the region as becoming associated with achieving a state of trance, as you will learn in the next few episodes. To end this episode, we will be listening to a short sample from 1955 of a song by Beta Tayini used in whirling dervish dances in Ankara.
Oh,